adopted. Adoption. It's what you say to your other sibling who you want to feel lesser than you when you're having an argument in your family. You're adopted. You don't belong to this family. It certainly was when I was growing up, something that my brother said to me. Adoption is the process of taking a child from its biological family and adopting him or her into your family. What is your adoption story? Maybe it's you personally. Maybe it's those around you, a family member or a distant family member. Maybe it's a friend at work that had an adoption story and it's impacted your head and gone all the way down to your heart. Adoption. My name's Keith Halcombe. I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor. And we continue on in our series, At the Movies. And we can learn a lot about our faith, a lot about whom we are to be as we follow Jesus and whom we are as the church as we watch movies, even children's movies. Last week, we followed and looked at what it was like for Mr. Fredrickson in the movie Up as he wanted to go on the best adventure ever. This week, we're looking at the movie Despicable Me. How many people have seen Despicable Me? Down the front here. Okay, a lot over here. More in this service than last service. I don't know what that demographic is, but we're glad that you've seen it. And here is our evil criminal mastermind, Gru, in the middle with the large nose. And then the three children here are the children that become a part of the plot for the story for the evil mastermind to capture the moon. Where we are in the story is Gru has spent a lot of time trying to get the Shrink Ray, Shrink Ray 52. And Shrink Ray 52 is housed in Vector's house. Vector is another criminal mastermind who needs to use his toys to make things smaller. And Gru wants this toy. Gru wants this weapon to make things smaller. And he tries everything to get into this house. And this house is heavily barricaded with guns and weapons and bombs and stops him from getting into the house. One day, while Gru is in the dust of some recent attempt to get into the house, he sees three girls, these three girls here. Agnes is the little one, and Edith is the next one up, and they just walk right up to the house. They walk right up to the front door, into the front of the house, with the powerful weapon that you are all made lesser by, the powerful weapon of Girl Scout cookies. Yeah, they walk right in through the house. The first thing he says is, do you have the lemon ones? Sure enough, they're right into the house, and they're talking to Mr. Vector kind of thing and getting... And Gru has an idea. In fact, he says right where he says, light bulb. And he thinks to himself, if I adopt these girls, then I can do my evil ploy. I can distract them and get the shrink ray. So he goes to the adoption agency, and the adoption agency has the typical woman who's annoying, who wants to get rid of these kids as soon as possible. And they go to this adoption, it's not the adoption school, to the little girl's home where the children are being looked after by Miss Hattie. And he goes to there and he says, I'd like to adopt these three children, and convinces them that he would be a good parent. An evil mastermind. And so he woos her, he tells her she's lovely, he tells her her hair looks good, and he takes on these three kids, goes to the house, captures the shrink ray, and he's on the way home with the shrink ray, and he's thinking to himself, how can I get rid of these three girls? And the girls say, we want to go to the fair, we want to go to the fairground. So they go to the fairground, and when they're at the fairground, they're at one of those stalls. You ever been in one of those stalls and you shoot the thing that goes over the top, and when you shoot the thing, you get the fluffy toy. You know what I'm talking about? Those stalls kind of thing. Well, she's doing that and she hits the UFO that's going across the top, and she hits it and it doesn't fall down. Unlike any good, respecting, justice-seeking father, he says, what's going on here? And he gives the guy his money, and he pulls out his great big weapon. Of course, it's got guns and missiles on it, and he blows up the stall, shrinks the UFO kind of thing, and finally, little Agnes, the little one down the bottom here, it gets what she wants. That she gets the big fluffy unicorn. And the three girls look up to Gru and like, oh, we love you. You're so awesome. And all of a sudden, another light bulb goes off in his head, goes from his head all the way down to his heart as he realizes these girls love him. And the scene ends humorously with baby Agnes running off with the unicorn in her hand. It's so fluffy! Well, there's a change of heart and a change of mind in the story we are going to share, and the narrative that we are going to read today. We're in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 1. And Matthew chapter 1 is what we normally read around Christmas. So we're going to have a bit of a Christmas in July. You guys okay with that? We're going to have a bit of Christmas in July, and when we read this scripture, you're probably going to think, why am I not tired? Why am I not really angry right now? But no, we're going to read this scripture, and I want you to look at it a little differently than you normally would, especially as we look at the name Joseph. Joseph has a change of heart and change of mind as he visits with an angel and visits with a dream in the text in Matthew chapter 1. So Matthew chapter 1 is where we are. I'm going to show it for you on the screen as well. But pull it up in your Bibles if you have them. If you're online, open up another tab there and pull up Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. So this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. First Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. Joseph knew the law. Joseph knew that in order to honor this marriage, there were some things he had to do. Now, he was betrothed or engaged, as we call it, but it wasn't engaged like it is in 2022. This wasn't like a willy-nilly thing. This wasn't like something that could be canceled real easy, like a text message. That's happened to me before with a girl and a guy who canceled their engagement via a text message. This wasn't canceled via a text message, and it was unable to. In fact, if you were betrothed in ancient Near Eastern times, in the first century, it pretty much meant that the only way that you could get out of this betrothal was through death. Basically, Mary's mother and father were de facto Joseph's mother and father-in-law. And like I say to all the married couples, some counseling, you better get to know these guys real quick. These guys are now your family. You're now involved in this family. Now, Joseph knew the law. He grew up as a good Jew. He knew the Tanakh. He knew the prophecies. He knew the writings. He knew all the poems about how the Messiah was to come. He knew the rules that he should follow, the 613 rules he should follow. And he knew that something, when actually the woman he was betrothed to all of a sudden became pregnant, he had a right to divorce her. Not only to divorce her, but publicly shame her in front of everybody else because she had broken the betrothal through being pregnant. And he knew what he had to do. He knew his options. Thankfully, he knew the Mishnahs. And the Mishnah Sota, verses 1 and 3, helps Joseph out. He realizes that the rabbis thought that it was kind of a big deal to just shame the woman in public. So he decided, he was considering whether he should just have two witnesses, which is where it's written in the Sota, in the Mishnah, that they have two witnesses and you can divorce her quietly. So Joseph thought of this. Joseph considered whether he should do this. And we're down to like minutes and moments in the scripture. So as he considered this, an angel, who is Joseph first off? Who is this Joseph? Where does he come from? All of a sudden he just appears on the scene. Now, if we read back in the genealogy, that before this, it gives you all the descendants of Abraham and David. I'm going to read all of them to you right now. You ready? Some of you got that. Only one person got in the last one. Just a little bit. Verse 15. Who is Joseph? Just his grandparents. Here we go. His grandparents were Eliud, was the father of Eliezer. Eliezer was the father of Mathan. Mathan was the father of Jacob. And Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. And Mary gave birth to Jesus, who is called the Messiah. So Joseph was a descendant of royalty. Joseph was a descendant from Abraham, and Joseph was a descendant from David. He was a royal lineage, and he knew this so well that he wanted to make sure that the preservation of this line was good. And he didn't want it marred by a woman who had a child out of wedlock. He wanted to make sure that this lineage went on well. So while he was contemplating this, he was considering whether, when he was asleep at night, he was having visions and dreams maybe of people throwing stones at his betrothed in the middle of the village, in the middle of the city. And as he considered this, verse 20 says, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said. Joseph, son of who? David. The angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So this is a pivotal passage in the entire narrative of the Gospels. This angel, this theophany, this encounter with God, spoke to him in a dream and said, Mary is going to be in your lineage. Mary is going to be in your lineages because you're going to adopt Jesus. You're going to adopt Jesus into this family. So he has this choice. He knows the Tanakh. He knows the writings, he knows the prophecies, he knows the poems that point to whom the Messiah was going to be and how he was going to arrive on earth. He knew what it meant to fulfill those things. He knew the law, and yet still he had a choice before him. Does he publicly shame her in front of everybody? Does he divorce her quietly with two witnesses? Or does he indeed adopt Jesus as his own into the line of Abraham and David? Three choices. Central to our teaching as Wesleyans and in our theology is that we all have a choice. Amen? And Joseph has this same choice. Joseph has a choice whether Jesus gets adopted. What does he do? What, does he give this child a name? Does he take him on? He knows the scriptures. He knows the scripture in Matthew. He knows this full well. Verse 22, all of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through the prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give him a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And that's in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And he knew this well. You can imagine him sitting there with this with himself thinking, wait a minute. Mary, my betrothed, is the virgin. She's the one that's going to bring the child into the royal lineage of Abraham and David. This is the woman who's going to be adopted into the family. This is the woman that's going to be in the line of God. And he has this awareness all of a sudden. What's funny is Joseph's name is only mentioned 6 times in the scripture. Mentioned 2 more times in the next chapter when he has another theophany, another dream, another vision. And it tells him, take Jesus from the town he is in and take him to Egypt, because there's going to be all the babies, innocents are going to be wiped out because Herod the king is upset that he can't find the baby. So because Joseph listened to God and listened to his dreams, he actually delivers and adopts Jesus away from slavery and away from death. And there's other adoption stories like this in the Bible too. Queen Esther, set aside for such a time as this, she was set up to help deliver the Jews from being wiped out by Haman. And she was adopted by her uncle Mordecai. Of course, Moses delivered from the Nile, from the river Nile, out from the river by none other than royalty of Egypt. Adopted into the family that was royalty, so he knew what it was like to be under an oppressive Pharaoh. Obviously, he delivered the people from Egypt so that they could be delivered from slavery. And there are other adoption stories like this. What is your adoption story? Maybe it was a story of adoption for yourself personally. Maybe it was an adoption story of someone in your family, somebody in your distant family. Maybe it's a friend, somebody who was once in your head and then eventually slipped all the way down to your heart. What is your adoption story? In the last service, a lot of people came out just in the lobby after the service, and they were happy to share their stories of joy of adoption. What is yours? In Despicable Me, Gru, it starts out as this man who hates these kids, and there's such an inconvenience in life. He puts them in bombs, cut out bombs for beds kind of thing. And they keep asking him, would you tell us a story? Tell us a story. And they're like, no way, no way. We're not going to tell you a story. I'm not going to tell you a story. And then gradually starts to tell him a story. Towards the end of the show, towards the end of the movie, he actually writes a book which reflects how much these 3 children have impacted his life. And it ends finally with him kissing each child goodnight and wishing them a good night's sleep. These children that he adopted not only affected his head, but eventually affected his heart. What is your story? And adoption has become pretty close to my heart over these last 4 years, as I learned I had a half-sister who was also adopted, but also a close friend of mine who wants to remain anonymous, we'll call her Jane, sent me in her story. And just last year, she adopted a child, and I'm thankful that she shared her story with us. Before we get to this story, I want to tell you some of the statistics that reflect how much adoption is in and amongst our country. According to the Adoption Network, 6 out of 10 Americans, 60%, have had adoption experiences. That's either you, your family, or someone you know. 1.5 million children are adopted. That's 1 in 50. That's in the U.S. alone. 140,000 are adopted each year. And as of 2015, these are from the same adoption network, 107,918 are waiting to be adopted or eligible for adoption. 750 of these children are in our own state, in Florida. And this, like I said, has become very real to me. Jane sent in her story to us for us to share with her, as she's married. Jane's married with a biological daughter, and they adopted last year. Here's the story. My husband and I chose to pursue private domestic infant adoption. We wanted to adopt and felt led to adopt. not having any clue of the magnitude of impact it would have on us. As we started out on our journey, our mental framework of what we believed adoption was going to be to our nuclear family is just about as opposite as what actually happened. We used wise counsel, she says, and chose a reputable adoption agency in the area and started to pursue all of the information they needed on us in order to match us with their birth mothers. She says the matching process felt a bit like online dating. An expectant mother would come to the agency and her information would be taken down. Then they would submit their profile to all of the hopeful adoptive parents, HAP, hopeful adoptive parents. If the HAPs felt like they wanted to pursue the expectant mother, we essentially swipe right and gave our profile to them. The expectant mother was given 8 profiles at a time to look through and see if any of them felt right. We went through 8 rounds of offering our profile and being denied. The whole process took 9 months, which is a good number, of course, when you're waiting for a birth. They got to meet the mother they were going to adopt from. She got to go to the sonogram appointment. She got to be there at the birth of the child. And after being there at the birth, she said, he was perfect. She said, I learned more in those 24 hours than any college degree or any book that I'd ever be able to teach me about selfless love, about true sacrifice, about what it took for our expectant mother to say yes to the journey of adoption. I was able to tell her when she was picked up on the driveway of the hospital is that she changed my life. She says, I'm learning that adoption has very little to do with the receiver of the gift. It is always about the giver. And yes, we will have conversations with our son in the future about the spirit of adoption. And yes, it is messy and a lot of people exploit the adoption world. And yes, Eva is very much a part of any human-made system. But for us, we are grateful for the gift. We are grateful for the giver. We know she forever changed our lives. This adoption changed my friend Jane's life. The adoption of the 3 girls in the movie changed Gru's life. And the adoption that Joseph did not only changed Jesus' life and Mary's life and adopted him into Abraham's and David's lineage, but it changed his life too. Joseph is only mentioned 6 times in this scripture. And after that, he's not mentioned again. Where did he go? And yet he impacted the change of the entire world. The entire world can now come to know Jesus Christ and know their salvation, can follow Jesus and be adopted into the same lineage of Abraham and David. Because of what Joseph did, because he listened to what God was saying to him, he listened to the theophany, he interpreted his dreams and chose to adopt the Christ child into the lineage of David. Some of you will feel to be called to adoption. I heard about some of them before. Some of you felt called to fostering. And as you know, at Palm Harbor, we have one of our key values is to have a continuous focus on the future. And that means being involved in adoption. It means being involved in Live Out Loud, taking care of children in foster agencies. Just in Pinellas County alone, there's children everywhere in need of fathers and mothers, adoptive fathers, adoptive mothers, foster parents. Some of you have done that. Some of in the last services shared that with me. And there's some great stories of adoption and how people have been adopted into families that are beautiful. But because of the adoption of Jesus, because those who follow Jesus, who's been adopted into the family, I'm going to tell you the greatest news ever. Paul, when he was communicating the gospel around the Mediterranean, he spoke to his people in Galatia. And he wrote a book called Galatians. He wrote a letter to the Galatians. And he shared this news with them. I'm going to put it on the screen for you here. This is the news he shared with the Galatians. He says to them, but when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. That's who we were just talking about. And God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir to the kingdom. The good news, the best news today is that you are adopted. This is not a slur you say to each other when you're children. This is a glorious word that says that you are adopted into the best family ever. Because you follow Jesus, because you desire to live a life after the same ways of Jesus, you've been adopted into the family of God. The same line as Abraham, the same line as David, and you are adopted. Amen? You're adopted into the best family ever. This family is the family that includes all of the weird people like me. All the people across all sorts of different families. All the people that you've been looking for in your life. This family includes you too. The good news, brothers and sisters, is that you are adopted. You are adopted into the royal family of God. Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious and Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that through your servant Joseph, through the story of Mary being adopted into the family of God, we too can revel in that news. Thank you, Lord, that through this good news, we can know adoption. We can know adoption into the greatest family ever. Thank you, Lord, that you call us to be the kind of people that want others to be adopted into this family too. Thank you, Lord, for your servant Mary, who brought the child into the world so that we might live. Lord, may we continue to share this with others. May we continue to revel in the joy that you, Lord, brought us into the best family ever. We're so thankful for this good news. And it's through the name of Jesus, the adopted child of God, we pray this prayer. Amen.